having good energy, having great skin, having good poops. There's so many things that define, you know, true joyous health to me, that it's not just merely the absence of disease. It's not merely just not getting colds and flus, having a positive mental outlook. There's so many things to me that define health. Those are just some of them.
Having good poops. It's the quote of the podcast.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As an anthropologist and naturopathic doctor, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it, that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there. Today, I sat down with Joy McCarthy, best-selling author, holistic nutritionist, and chief blogger over at Joyous Health. We got into so many topics that you can start to put into practice in your life on a daily basis. We were discussing the microbiome, detox, eczema, and the absolute must habits that Joy will not negotiate on in terms of the healthy things that she puts into her life on a daily basis. This is the perfect way to kickstart a program that we are offering called 6 and 6, where we look at 6 fundamental lifestyle habits that you can implement over the next 6 weeks to, as Joy would say, spiral your health towards a place of better healing and better living. You can find out more about our new program, 6 and 6, over on our Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/Entrepology Podcast. You're going to love this interview. Everything about what we had to discuss was not only joyous, but easy to access. And true to form, we had so much fun. You are going to love her. Joy McCarthy, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Megan. Thanks for having me.
It is so great to have you. I have so many questions. I don't even know where to start. But, you know, I feel like one of your gifts is making healthy living so accessible, and you seem to never make it look hard. I'm sure there are some things going on behind the scenes that aren't always that pretty. But can you take us from what inspired you onto this joyous way of living and the building of your business and really the quick synopsis of how you got to where you are?
Yeah, absolutely. So I got to where I am basically by having my own health challenges, which I suffered from, you know, in the late 90s and early 2000s. And my hair was falling out. I had digestive problems. I had anxiety issues and panic attacks. And I went from doctor to doctor, specialist to specialist, the conventional road. And no one was able to help me and kept recommending different prescription drugs to take. And I got to a point where I really felt hopeless and extremely frustrated with the system, you know, just being sent from one doctor to the next, and no one, it was like I had to start from ground zero with every specialist I worked with because they didn't know anything about my history or what my health issues were, other than just like staring at a sheet of paper with my blood work. So I remember one particular night, one particular day, I saw yet another endocrinologist who was looking at my blood work and, you know, gave me the same spiel, telling me that my hormones are imbalanced and that's why I haven't had a period in 6 months and that's why my hair's falling out and that's why I just feel yucky. And I'm like, yeah, thanks. Like, tell me something I don't already know. So please fix me. And she's like, well, you know, there's this new drug. And I'm like, oh, here we go. In my mind is what I'm thinking. She's like, I'd really like you to try it. You know, I'm getting good results with patients. So she gave me this prescription for, it was just basically a birth control pill, for a new birth control pill that had just come on the market, and she was sure that it was going to help me. And so I got home that night and I just decided enough is enough. I am so sick and tired of trying all these different birth control pills and trying drugs for, you know, managing panic attacks. I've just had enough. So I woke up the next morning and it was kind of like a paradigm shift. I just chose a different direction. I chose a different path. And, you know, over the course of several months, I did exhaustive research just on my own. Because back in like the early 2000s, in my world, seeing a naturopath or a certified nutritionist was so far off the radar. It wasn't as common as it is now. So if I had known, you know, some like you, Megan, I would have been like, hey, please help me. So I did my own research and essentially healed my own body. And, you know, within several months, my hair started to grow back, my anxiety completely vanished, my digestive problems, I don't know if I mentioned that, completely vanished. I had blood work done and all of my hormones were balanced. And of course, I got my period back. So my doctor was, of course, confused and shocked and but happy for me and was like, how did you do this? And I just explained very briefly, you know, change in diet, change in lifestyle. And here I am. So that really inspired me to eventually go back to school because this is my second career. And I just wanted to learn more because I realized that a lot of people were struggling with the same health issues that I had, especially in my social circle. And I just wanted to be able to help people. And so that's kind of where I started from, you know, just realizing the power I had over my own body for, you know, when I lit up those self-healing mechanisms and really took time for self-care, how I was able to do that. And here I am today. It's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool because you're walking the talk. You know, there's two things you just said that sort of struck me. The first was that your medical doctor was shocked and confused that when you took care of your body, it actually healed itself.
Yeah.
And so it kind of begs the question, and this is sort of rhetorical, I'm just curious of your thoughts. Do we need to be sick to find health?
I think for some people, not everybody, but I do think for some people, it takes that sort of rock bottom moment to then decide you're going to take care of yourself. That's kind of sad when we think of it that way. I think more and more, though, people are realizing the importance of prevention. And, you know, had I known then what I know now, I would have never, you know, had those years of just feeling awful. But I think it depends on your personality a little bit. Like for me, I've always been a very active person. So I never struggled with things like, you know, being overweight, or I was always like very fit. And that was something that I did I wanted to stay in shape and feel good in my body. So in that way, that I guess was, you know, preventing disease and helping me be healthy. But then the food part was really off.
You just espouse this healthy lifestyle and you make it accessible and easy and fun for people. So what's the difference between, I'm going to say, a joyous state of living, which is what your brand is all about, and now your new book and this push around a joyous detox? What's the difference between a detox and just regular preventative health?
So for me, my new book, Joyous Detox, is all about a lifestyle. Because as you know, our bodies are detoxing all the time. We don't just detox in the spring. We don't just detox on January 1st. We are detoxing 365 days a year. So I felt really passionate when writing my book because I'm like, why can't we just be eating foods that, you know, support the body's detox pathways? Why can't we just do this all the time? Why do we have to, you know, restrict and deprive ourselves, you know, for 10 days only to go back to our same old ways of, you know, drinking too much alcohol and eating too much sugar and, you know, eating too many refined foods? So my whole idea behind Joyous Detox was to provide people with a really approachable and delicious plan to try it for 10 days. So of course there's no sugar. You take a break from gluten, You take a break from pasteurized dairy and unfermented soy. You take a break from these foods for 10 days. So for some people, that's a really big commitment. That's a huge change. And for some people like you and I, that's how we're, for the most part, already living. We're eating really delicious whole foods. So I wanted to put together a program that works for everybody, to give people who are already eating healthy and enjoying a fulfilling life and optimal health, to give them more recipes to continue to do that, and also give them ideas in terms of a lifestyle detox too. So if you've already got the food part down, maybe you want to think about the products that you use on your body every day. Maybe you want to think about doing a digital detox and disconnecting, and, you know, less screen time, more green time, as I like to call it. So I wanted to just make sure that Joy's Detox was about a lifestyle, and not to scare people away. It's not about deprivation. It's not about a diet. It's just like, hey, try my meal plan for 10 days and see how you feel. And I pretty much guarantee you're going to feel great. So before Joyous Detox came out, I actually had the Joyous 10-Day Detox, an ebook that used to run on my website for about 3 years. And I had like over 40,000 people do it over those 3 years. And the most common question I would get emails all the time from people who were doing it. And the most common question / comment I would get was, hey, Joy, I did the 10 days. My bloating's totally gone. My energy's so much better. Is it okay if I continue to this detox? Is it okay if I continue to eat this way? And that always made me laugh because, I mean, that's ultimately what I want people to get out of it. I want them to realize how good the body is designed to feel when you take a break from certain foods and you introduce more foods. So that's my definition of a detox. Take a break from the crappy foods and the crappy habits. Everybody knows what those are in their, for their own body, if they really tune in and listen to their body, and add in more habits that serve the body well and more foods that serve the body well. So that's why I really focus, you know, whether it's on the blog or sharing a recipe on Instagram or a recipe in either of my books, they're always made up. All my recipes are made up with wonderful foods that help the body detox naturally every day, whether it's kale or beets or turmeric, or fish, you name it. It's delicious whole foods. That's a really, sorry, that was like too long of a rant, but.
I know, it was beautiful. And, you know, I think it's important for people to understand that, because it's not, detox is not this tea that you grab off the random aisle in the health food store. This is a pharmacological process that happens in the liver every second of every day, and you're either overworking it or you're giving it an opportunity to let it thrive. And I think that's what you're doing, right? Is you're giving people the lifestyle tools to let their body be at its best.
Exactly. And also, you know, I really like to educate people, like you were talking about, on, you know, why is it so important to eat certain foods to help the liver better detox? Because your liver requires certain vitamins and minerals and phytonutrients in order to detox toxins, and also to protect the liver from those toxins. And where do we get these nutrients from, right? They don't just come out of thin air. So I like to educate people on the fact you get this from your food. So it's so important to look to what you eat every day as an opportunity to either fight disease or fuel disease and help your body better detox or not. So every time we eat is this amazing opportunity.
And so taking it a step further, because what you're talking about is, I'm going to call it a gateway detox.
Yeah.
In terms of it being accessible. And then even in my own practice, I have things that I'll say are like advanced maneuvers. Right. One of which is fasting. What are your thoughts on fasting detoxes? And for me, I'm not eating for 3 days. I'm talking about maybe using juice or bone broth, or are those something that feature either in your definition or world of detox, or maybe even on your own?
Yes, they definitely do, and definitely on my own. But when it comes to, I don't want to use the word severe, but maybe perhaps more intense detoxes and cleanses and fasts, I always recommend that people work with someone like yourself. Work with a naturopath or a certified nutrition who's an expert and, you know, can do your whole health history. That's why in Joyous Detox, I don't really touch on that, because depending where someone's at, like if someone has diabetes or if someone's pregnant or breastfeeding, I want them to get the advice from a practitioner. But for me personally, and I think for the average person, I always recommend aiming to fast for at least 12 hours at night. So last time food passes by your lips, say it's 8 p.m., then you don't eat again until 8 a.m. to give your digestive system a rest. And also, we know that we don't sleep as well. We don't release melatonin as adequately when the brain detects food in the gut. If you're feeling full or not even too full, if you just have a lot of food in your gut, you can't get into a proper deep sleep. So I'm a huge fan of just being aware of that 12-hour fast. But of course, if you're pregnant or you're breastfeeding, then, you know, throw that out the window. And of course, intermittent fasting, I'm a big fan of as well. I'm not practicing that personally because I am still breastfeeding. And then, of course, I do think there are some really great herbs that people can use. I think there are good teas out there that people can use on a daily basis, whether it's like, you know, that has ingredients like dandelion and burdock root. I think these are things that people can introduce into their daily lives as well, just to help give their system a little detox boost. But, and in terms of juice fasts, I'm actually not a huge fan of juice fasts, those types of cleanses, beyond sort of one day. I just don't find they're sustainable. And, you know, my own experience when I have, you know, in the earlier days when I was having clients doing them, I just didn't have really great results. But, you know, I'm open to always learning more and hearing about more research. And, you know, nutrition is like ever evolving. I feel like we never, ever know everything because it's going to change. New research is going to come out. But one thing I feel extremely passionate about right now in terms of detox and preventative health is just really supporting gut health and the microbiome, and really understanding how that plays into, you know, the prevention of disease and keeping inflammation in check and help and, you know, ensuring that our body is detoxing effectively based on how much good bacteria, bad bacteria we have in our body. So I think the microbiome is also very, very important to recognize and support.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here giddy in my chair because when people say microbiome, like all of the like geeking out pathways in my brain are firing. This is a hot topic, and probiotics and fermented foods and just the term microbiome gets thrown around. You're so good at making things accessible for people. What is the microbiome and why do we care?
Yeah, so the microbiome is essentially the tens of trillions of microbes that live on us and in us. In fact, one square centimeter of our skin has a billion microbes, which is just insane. Our gut obviously being the most populated with these microbes. And so every choice we make, every second of every day, our microbiome is changing because what we eat, how much stress we have. So every time, every morsel of food we eat, for example, if we're eating something sugary and refined, you know, carbohydrates like white pasta with some sort of dairy cream sauce, we're more likely than not, you know, feeding the more undesirable microbes, the yeast and the fungus, whereas eating fermented foods and prebiotic foods like onions and bananas and apples, eating more of those types of foods really help the good bacteria to thrive. And there's so many reasons this is important. One of them that I get excited about is just the simple fact that we know that good bacteria help to break down waste products and toxins in the gut. And when we have a bowel movement, that's where it comes out. So the good bacteria are on our side. But, you know, I was doing a lot of research for my recent eczema guide, and just in terms of on the, you know, lots of research on the microbiome and also the skin biome. And what I really came to understand was that, sure, we can call it bad bacteria, but actually, there may not actually be bad bacteria. That bad bacteria, even pathogenic bacteria, may actually have some benefits to us. So it's not about eradicating all of the bad bacteria. It's about having enough and a variety of species that everyone can kind of live in harmony. Because we're never, as you know, we're never going to be completely yeast-free. But it's about having You know, if you think about your gut as your inner garden, you know, having that inner garden be full of a variety of species, you know, whether it's dandelions and sunflowers and different grasses and roses, as opposed to just all dandelion. We want to have that variety, and there's so many ways to support our microbiome. And, you know, as we know, it helps our immune system be healthy, helps us have beautiful skin. So if we have enough good bacteria, this really supports keeping inflammation in check, which is at the root of things like eczema and acne. So many things that good bacteria is important for. But the microbiome is really fascinating. And we're only like, I think it's only really been the last 2 decades that scientists have really been getting into this. And 2 decades is not a very long time. So it'll be interesting to see over the next couple decades, like just how much more we learn. I'm sure there's so much we don't even know, because we're more microbes than we are actually human cells. And even like, I'm sure in your practice, you work with your patients in terms of patients who have like depression and anxiety, even like neurotransmitters are, you know, we know that a huge percentage of serotonin comes from the gut. And it doesn't just come out of thin air. It's the good bacteria that's helping these neurotransmitters be produced. So it's really, I'm like you, Megan, I get super excited about the microbiome. And for anyone who is listening, who is like super interested in this, like just go onto PubMed, type in microbiome, and read to your heart's content, because you'll find so much incredible, interesting research and information.
Yeah, I have such a fondness for gut flora and bacteria that when I hear about antibiotics or I hear people talking about sugar, I'm like, no, like it you might as well be spraying Agent Orange on a forest. Like time and place. Last week we had Stephanie Seneff on the podcast, and she was talking about glyphosate. And interestingly enough, glyphosate being that active component of Roundup, she was talking about the fact that the bacteria, Acetobacter in sauerkraut, is one of the very few types of bacteria that will break down glyphosate in the body. So it's just amazing that these bacteria are working on our behalf even when we don't know it.
It's amazing, right? And there's just so much we don't even know.
Absolutely. Like err on the side of prevention, right?
Yes, exactly. Which is why I'm a huge fan of fermented foods. I mean, if we look at diets of traditions past, you know, our ancestors, like 30% or more of their diet was fermented foods, because they couldn't go to Loblaws or Metro in February and buy fresh strawberries or buy fresh asparagus. So they had to like pickle and ferment things. People who lived in northern climates, like in Canada, you couldn't eat fresh foods all year round. So you just naturally ate more fermented foods. But I think the tides are definitely turning. I feel like fermented foods are becoming more of a household name, and people are understanding, you know, how important they are for our health and realizing how easy it is to make your own ferments as well. Like it's so easy to make sauerkraut. Like it's just, I know even for myself, like before I actually started making sauerkraut and kimchi, I was like, it was so intimidating to me. But now that I do it, I'm like, I don't know why everyone doesn't do this. A, it's super cheap, and B, it's an incredible superfood.
Yeah, the hardest part about sauerkraut is spelling it. It's not doing it, right?
Exactly.
Talk to us a little bit about sugar, because I know this is something that you feature and you talk about in your detox. And I think for a lot of people, at least in my practice, this is the one thing. They're like, I feel better off dairy. I feel better off wheat. I'm just dying for sugar. How do we work around that? Like, can we just delve into just how kryptonite-like sugar is for people?
Yeah, totally. And there's so many different facets of it. Like, why is sugar so addictive? Well, of course, we know it's addictive because it stimulates the release of dopamine, which is why cocaine addicts are completely addicted. It's the same mechanism. So sugar is incredibly addictive. But I used to be a sugar addict. So before I became a nutritionist, I used to work at an advertising agency. And my main client was the company that makes Mars and Snickers and M&Ms. And so I used to have boxes boxes of peanut M&Ms under my desk. And so at 3 p.m., I was like the most popular person in the office. As I'm sure you can imagine, everyone would be hanging out at my desk wanting some peanut M&Ms. Anyhow, I was totally addicted. I was like eating like 2-3 bags a day. And I remember even back then, I was like, like, what are all these chemicals that make these colors so bright? And this is, and I remember thinking to myself, like, what is happening to these chemicals when they go into my body? So I think when, you know, someone wants to, when someone decides, hey, I'm going to get out, cut out sugar, I think that's a great idea. And I think it's just really important to support the body in order to be able to properly detox from sugar. So I am not of the mindset that you must eliminate anything that's sweet. I actually think that we are so emotionally connected to a sweet taste. For many people, a sweet taste is comfort. I know it is for me because growing up, Sundays, we used to have both my grandmas over and someone would always bake. Normally my mom would bake something. And so for me, having dessert after a big meal, a family meal, was something that was like so special. So, and I think a lot of people get emotional comfort from sugar. And I think that's okay as long as you're eating the right types of food for that comfort, because there's definitely healthy comfort foods. So when someone decides they want to do a sugar detox, for sure, you know, eliminate all sources of refined sugars. And then I do think it's okay in moderation to have certain fruits, to eat foods that are naturally sweet, and you know, whether it's sweet potato or if you're making a big, beautiful salad for lunch, you know, put some raisins or chop up some dates into that salad so that you're getting that sort of comfort food aspect of it, so that you're not feeling like you're missing something. Because I think a lot of times people will just, you know, they find the craving so hard to break because it's so hard to do it cold turkey. I'm not sure what your philosophy is on sort of cutting out sugar, but mine is like cut out the refined sugar for sure, cold turkey, and then natural sugars in moderation, even though I hate that word moderation. But you got to kind of figure out what works best for you. So for me, I had to completely cut out all forms of refined sugar. I did go through withdrawal because you do actually get addicted. Like some people get shaky for a few days, they get headaches. And also remember that sugar cravings are just a sign of an imbalance as well. And I have found, as I mentioned, having so many people do the Joyous 10-Day Detox and so many people telling me they were able to like totally lose their cravings. I think when people just eat more balanced and they're eating enough protein and fat and therefore balancing their blood sugar, they don't have these wild fluctuations. Because that was a big part of why I was a sugar addict. So I'd eat these M&Ms, my blood sugar would spike, then it would drop so low. Then in the evening, I would just be like this sugar monster. So just simply having more balance, you know, making sure you have enough protein and fat at every meal so that your blood sugar is more balanced, and that really helps you kick that sugar habit.
Yeah, and so what's your take on artificial sweeteners?
Yeah, so I hate artificial sweeteners. I think they're terrible. I go through each of them kind of like one by one in my book. But, you know, the key takeaway, I think, with artificial sweeteners is that they're just that kind of sweet taste, that intensely sweet taste does not exist in nature. So when we eat something that's sweet, the brain expects nutrition, right? It assumes it's a carbohydrate and expects minerals and B vitamins. And when we don't actually have any of that in our diet because we're eating a poor diet, we're eating artificial sweeteners, we just keep craving and craving and craving. And so, and now we're even seeing, there's research even showing that artificial sweeteners can actually increase insulin. So it's just not a solution. It's not a solution at all. And, you know, for people listening, if your doctor or your dietitian has recommended that, you really need to question them on that, because it's definitely not something I recommend. And I even recommend, you know, being cautious with stevia. You know, I like stevia. I use it in the summer when I make like iced or like chilled teas. But it's not something that I use like all the time in my everyday, because I do think it is so intensely sweet, and you want to get used to your food not being that sweet. And that's another thing that I have noticed over the years working with people is that when they cut out sugar, they cut out their refined sugars, when they do then go and eat something that they used to eat, say they used to get, you know, their favorite double chocolate chunk cookie from Starbucks or whatever it is, they used to get that every day. They cut it out for 3 weeks and then they have it again. It's just usually too sweet. It's like sickly sweet. Like I find even myself, who was someone that was sugar addicted and just assumed I would always need something sweet my whole life. Like there are so many things that I find too sweet. I just, you know, if I go to someone's house and they bake something, more often than not, it's not appealing to me. So for me, I totally, you know, being a recovered sugar addict, I still find like it doesn't appeal to me at all. And I think a lot of people can break through that and be able to overcome their sugar addiction.
And what about honey? Do you throw honey in there?
No, I actually recommend honey but here's the thing. If you make your granola at breakfast and you have it with some nice sheep's milk yogurt or coconut yogurt, and then you're pouring like, you know, 4 tablespoons of honey on it, then that's too much honey. I think that honey, you know, if you're having raw and pasteurized honey, definitely has benefits. But if it's something that you feel throws you off and you can't just have a little, then it's something you need to cut out. So I like honey. I use honey products myself. I also like in, for example, in baking, in many of my recipes, I stick to real maple syrup. I like using local or Quebec maple syrup. I like coconut sugar, but again, at the end of the day, sugar. It's just that there are better options out there than just like plain, you know, white sugar or brown sugar. There are so many great options instead for baking, and using applesauce, for example. I'm sure like when you bake for your kids, like applesauce and bananas are really great ways to sweeten baked goods. Like if you're making a banana bread, like it just makes no sense when I see certain recipes that call for sugar and it has bananas. It's like it doesn't even make sense.
You don't even need it. Yeah.
No, you really don't.
Yeah. And you said something interesting in there, and it wasn't even necessarily related to the honey, but you just threw it in there. You said, if you feel like it throws you off, then don't do it.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to honor that sentence for a minute, because I feel like so often people come in and they say to me, and I'm sure you hear the same thing, oh, you know what, I really just don't feel well with X, Y, or Z in my life, but my doctor told me there's no way that that's related to me not feeling great, so I've continued to do it. And we've talked a lot about food, but are there things in people's general lifestyle that you feel like they kind of intuitively feel like it's throwing them off, but we don't ever talk about it? And that's lighting or sitting or birth control pills, or like what other things when we're talking about detox should we just throw on the table that throws people off?
Yeah, well, I think moving the body every single day is so key. I mean, I'm sure there's no doctor out there who's not recommending exercise. But, you know, just making sure you move your body, because if you don't move, how are you boosting circulation? And how do you boost blood flow and circulation to the liver? What is the best way? Moving your body. So many people are so stagnant, and their lymphatic system and the lymph flow isn't happening. It's so stagnant, and their body is just, and people feel it. I don't know about you, but if I, you know, am working on a project and I know, you know, I'm like, oh, I've just like been sitting too much, like the first thing I want to do is get up and go for a walk. But I think that's because I know as soon as I go for a walk and I move my body, I'm just automatically going to feel better. So I think there's actually, simple lifestyle habits that get people on the upward spiral so that they want to do better for themselves. So, you know, simple things like, for example, getting outside in nature every day, getting fresh air every day boosts your mood. When you're in a better mood, you want to do better for yourself. You want to eat better. So, you know, making sure that you have habits every day that, you know, really support your well-being beyond just food. Because again, it gets you on that upward spiral, and the more good things you do for yourself, the more you want to. And I'm sure people who are listening now, you know, everyone knows how good they feel when they start an exercise regime. Like you automatically want to start eating better. But then think about other lifestyle habits that, you know, support your overall well-being, support your body, better detoxing. Sleep is another one. You know, sleep is so important for our muscle cells, our skin cells, our bones to regenerate at night, and, you know, to keep inflammation in check. And for me, I know perfectly well, if I don't have a good sleep, I don't have a morning bowel movement. And having a bowel movement is so key for detox. But it's like, that's the one thing, like my body is just, it's not happy. Like the other night, you know, this happens, right? My daughter was up from like 12 a.m. to 4 a.m. She was a crazy maniac.
It's the
I don't
worst.
Know. Oh, and I was like, okay, well, you know I'm not going to feel great the next day, but what are things I can do to still support my body? Do I wake up and then, you know, eat a baguette and have a croissant and French toast? No. Instead, I make a smoothie, and there, you know, there's certain non-negotiables that I have. No matter what's going on in my life, there's certain habits that I always come back to because I know they make me feel great. So instead of, you know, having that happened on Sunday night where she was up for 4 hours. And then of course, when I finally did get to bed, it was so hard to fall asleep because I was like so spun from her crying. So it was almost like I missed a night of sleep. But you know, the old Joy 10, 15 years ago would have been wrecked for days. But you know, I feel like pretty good because, you know, I got back on track the next night. I support my body with good nutrition. I get outside, I get exposure to fresh air and daylight, and just, you know, just making sure you get outside every day and see the daylight helps set your circadian rhythms. So it's so important. There's so many things you can do beyond just food. I don't know if I answered that question. Sorry if I gave us a ramble, but I was just, you know, got carried away by like ways that people can get on that upward spiral, to take better care of themselves.
Yeah, no, I love that. But you mentioned that there's absolute musts for you. What are some of those absolute musts that you will, even a crying baby will not get in front of these absolute musts?
Yeah, so for sure is my morning smoothie, every day, 365 days a year. When I travel, I find somewhere I can get a smoothie. I said to Walker, the next time we travel, I'm bringing a blender with me, because that's how important it is to me. So I make a smoothie, or Walker, my husband, makes a smoothie, and the three of us share it. So that's so Vienna is 20 months old. That's like, I just feel it's this multivitamin in a cup, has all these wonderful whole foods. It's just the way I start out my day. And I feel great. Now, am I going to like lose myself if I don't have it one day? Well, no, I won't. But I have to tell you, like, really, I can't even think of the last time that I actually didn't have a smoothie. Even if Walker and Vianna and I are going out to meet friends for brunch, like, we still have our smoothie first thing in the morning because it just really sets the stage for the day. And another thing is just, you know, making drinking water a priority. I know we hear this over and over again, but I was actually chatting with someone earlier today who's like super health nut, and we're talking about our sort of health non-negotiables. And she's like, yeah, water. She's like, I know what you mean, Joy. She's like, that's the one thing I really struggle with. So for me, what I do every night before I go to bed, I fill up a huge glass. I have this like nice glass bottle that I fill up with water. There's probably maybe a liter in there, maybe 750 ml. I don't know. I've never actually measured it, but I fill it up. I put it on my night table. And then when I wake up in the morning, before my feet even hit the floor, I drink that because I don't know what the morning's going to entail. I don't know what's going to happen with Vienna. Like, Vienna's pretty calm, but, you know, it could be a crazy morning. And I want to make sure that, you know, that's how I start my day. And then other things like taking my supplements, eating plant-based foods, like always every single day, at least one of my meals is like a huge salad. I love salads so much. Like for dinner, we had a huge salad, we had a quinoa salad. I don't eat grains actually that often, but we had a vegetarian dinner and it was absolutely delicious.
Amazing. It's those little things that matter, right? It's the daily stuff that builds health.
Yes, exactly. It's not just doing 10 days going all out and eating all these detox friendly foods or juices or whatever people are doing. It is truly a lifestyle. It's the daily things. And then once in a while, when you do have an indulgence and a treat, or you go out and you have a wonderful meal and maybe you've had a little bit more wine than you wish you had, you know, maybe you're like, oh, I shouldn't have had that second or third glass of wine. It's not a big deal when you get back on track the next day. Because you don't, you know, your body will, if you just tune into your body's own wisdom, it kind of really does help you stay on track. And I really didn't believe that for the longest time until I actually started listening to having awareness of how certain foods and habits made my body feel. And when I tuned into that, that really helped me. That really like motivated me. I think that's a missing piece for a lot of people is that they're just not body aware. And you know, when they clean up their diet, even though I hate using the word clean, I hate like clean eating. That just, to me, it makes it sound like you're eating sterile food, but for lack of a better description, you know, when you eat cleanly and then you have like one super indulgent meal, then you realize like how far you've come because you're like, oh yeah, like that makes me feel like crap. So I'm not going to eat McDonald's again. So I think that really helps people stay on track.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you mentioned a key word there, which I think is going to resonate with a lot of people, which is lifestyle, right? It's not just a detox, right? It's a way of living, which is why I kind of love this as a gateway for people. Can we segue a little bit and just talk about your lifestyle as an entrepreneur?
Yes, totally.
Were you always an entrepreneur?
I feel like I always have been. I've always been, maybe if not an entrepreneur, I've always been an extremely hard worker. Like when I was in high school, I had 3 part-time jobs, which is kind of crazy. I've just always kind of been a workhorse, but I definitely had to learn, you know, with Joyous Health, I had to learn how to run it like a business and not like a hobby because I feel like I've been a student of nutrition my whole life. I love it so much. I'm so passionate about it. I mean, that's what I'm reading. You know, I'm not reading really interesting mystery novels or anything when I'm in bed at night or I go on vacation. I'm still like reading about nutrition because I just love it so much and about wellness as a whole. So I think that I had to kind of learn the skills of being an entrepreneur, but I feel like I've kind of always had that in me since I was a kid.
And so then for entrepreneurs or experts who are just getting started, and I know that you are someone that so many of them look up to, what advice do you have for them as they're getting going?
So many things. And let me just think of the best pieces of advice I can give. Well, the first one would be one that I just said, and I think this is really important for people to, you know, look at their business as a business and not just as a hobby. And, you know, it's so easy to fall into the trap of doing the aspects of your business that you really enjoy and then procrastinating and putting off all the other stuff, the admin, or maybe it's the marketing you don't enjoy, or, you know, maybe it's doing meal plans, whatever it is, or, you know, whatever type of business you're in. You have to, you know, get comfortable with wearing all hats, especially in the beginning. You know, if it's just you grinding away and you're doing, you know, so many different things, I think it's really important to remember that you have to wear different hats. You know, as a nutritionist, and I say this all the time when I speak to nutritionists, is that most of the day you have to take your nutritionist hat off and you have to put your marketing hat on. And you have to think like a business person and think, how am I going to market my services and build my brand so that I can do what I love? And so I, you know, can work with people and develop recipes or whatever it is that you need to do. But you know, if you need to take a course in how to run a business, how to do the books, how to do the accounting, then you should definitely do that. Because that's one big mistake that I made personally, was that I was terrible at doing my invoicing. I was terrible at all the accounting stuff because it just like gave me the heebie-jeebies. I was like, I hate that. So then I'd have clients like Joy, you know, they would say to me like, Joy, I kind of like need to pay you. Like, can I pay you? And then you get to a point where you're like, oh my God, I have no money. But then you're like, oh, well, I could like invoice how many people. So one thing that's really key as an entrepreneur is, for me, I like live by my calendar. That keeps me on track. It is the only way I have a social life. I schedule pretty much everything. And, you know, there was a couple weeks ago, I was being interviewed for a podcast and they said to me, well, don't you think like that kind of takes away your creativity and being spontaneous? No, I don't think it does. I think it helps me maintain my sanity. And it's not like, you know, when the weekends come and my weekend is open, I'm not going into my calendar to schedule things in, you know, just to fill up my calendar. But I think, you know, living by a calendar and just that really helps you stay organized and really helps you finish projects. Because I meet so many people that tell me they want to write an ebook or they want to write a book or they have this project, but they just keep procrastinating. And so you have to set timelines for yourself, and then you actually have to put it in your calendar that, you know, whether it's writing, that's really key. Because if you're writing and you have to like write 30,000 words, you can't just cram that all in and do it in a month. You need like months to do that. So you need to make sure that you schedule time for it. And that's been, I think, one of the, that's been something that's definitely helped me achieve, you know, many goals that I've had, is like really making sure I schedule time to work on it. And I'm definitely someone, by the way, I'm like a procrastinator and I work best under pressure. So for me, that was like a big sort of mindset shift that, oh, like I don't have to work like this. I don't have to be super stressed out that I have to meet this deadline. I can just start earlier. So living by the calendar.
Yeah, I can't. I am with you 100% there. I don't know what I would do without my calendar.
Yeah.
It makes me a healthier person, actually.
Yes. Yeah. It just takes like the stress away.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I forgot to put one birthday party in a calendar last month, and man, we missed the party. It was devastating. Like it was, I need my calendar. Absolutely.
Yeah, me too. Because I'm the same. If I don't put, like I put all my social stuff in my calendar too. If it doesn't get into my calendar, it won't happen. Like I won't be there. I don't just, you know, like as an entrepreneur, you're doing so many things. And if you have a family too, like there's just, you know, you want to make it easy on yourself and not have to try and remember everything off the top of your head.
Yeah. Use your head for better things.
Yeah, exactly.
Joy, how would you define health?
Happiness. To me, health is defined as really like feeling good in my own skin, feeling really happy, having good energy, having great skin, having good poops. There's so many things that define, you know, true joyous health to me, that it's not just merely the absence of disease. It's not merely just not getting colds and flus, having a positive mental outlook. There's so many things to me that define health. Those are just some of them.
Having good poops. It's the quote of the podcast.
It's so true. We all feel good when we poop.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so why not? Let's just talk about it, right? I always tell people, like, pooping, that's such, like, do it first thing in the morning. So good for you. Cleanse my body.
Absolutely. That's one of the first rules of detox.
Yes, exactly.
Each month, I'm featuring a new Anthropology quiz to help you unlock and uncover some of the physical performance blocks that may be holding you back from your true potential. With spring in the air, we are focusing on detox and toxicity. Through the quiz, we're going to help you understand whether you possibly have exposures you didn't even think you were having, and how to tell whether or not your body is better or worse than the average person at being able to remove these things from your immediate environment. To learn more or to take the quiz, head on over to MeganWalker.com/anthropology quiz. Joy, we're going to jump into the second half of the interview. And by half, I don't actually mean half. I mean the last little part.
Yeah.
And these are our key performance indicators. So just like we would have with a new startup or business, these are the key things about one's lifestyle that gives us a snapshot of where you're at and what you're doing. So I've got five quick questions for you. The first is, do you have a consistent morning routine? And if so, can you share?
Well, I used to, but that was before I had a daughter. I used to definitely have a very consistent routine of getting up, having my water, having breakfast, sometimes did yoga before, sometimes it was after. But I have to be honest, I don't, you know, when I hear other entrepreneurs talk about how they get up and they meditate and then they have all these things that they do in the morning, I'm like, I don't know how they do that when you have little ones, because you can't really put a 20-month-old on your, you know, having this perfect blissed out morning routine. That being said, mornings are my favorite time of the day. I never rush the morning. For me, you know, getting up with enough time that I have time to have breakfast with my family. I don't have to rush. I just hate rushing the morning, because that's another thing. If I'm rushed, then I don't poop. So for me, like, I want to enjoy my morning. So I have my water, we have our breakfast. Sometimes, you know, if Walker's around, then I can go do yoga. I don't go to classes. I just do it at home. You know, I do like online yoga. So it's not really anything too strict. It's just like pretty simple, but you know, sort of the routine of when I do, like the routine of when and if I do yoga, that kind of changes every day. Cause it just depends on my daughter and what, you know, what she's up for. Sometimes she just wants to climb all over me and have fun. And I'm okay with that because, you know, I may be going to the office and I may have a babysitter coming and being with her for the next, you know, 7 hours. So I want to max out my time with her.
Yeah, I totally get that. Fiction or nonfiction, what are you reading right now?
I'm actually reading, I'm just turning my head to look. I'm sitting in my bedroom, everybody, doing this podcast. Tools of Titans, Tim Ferriss.
So
I don't know
good.
If you, yeah, so good. But you know what? I don't, a lot of books, I don't read like front to back. I like, and on the other side of my night table stand, I have the whole Brain Child, which is a book I love, and another book about parenting, happy, peaceful, parents. Sorry. I think it's called happy parenting, peaceful child. So those are three books that when I come to bed, I just kind of choose one and I open a random page. And then depending how good it is, I may get carried away for a while and read far too long. And my husband's like, Joy, can you please turn off the light? Like, it's time to go to bed. So I love Tim Ferriss because I just find him so motivating. And I like just flipping to a random page. So for other entrepreneurs listening, that's a really great book.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it right now, too.
Yeah, so,
so good. Hot beverage of choice. What is it and how do you prepare it?
Oh, a matcha latte for sure. So just like whisk some organic matcha powder with some hot water, but not boiling. Hot water, whisk it. And then I warm up some coconut milk and a bit of raw honey and just combine all three. So good. Or turmeric ginger tea. I also like doing that, like just tossing turmeric, raw honey, cinnamon, ginger, and coconut milk and getting like the full fat into my blender with hot water. That is like next level deliciousness.
Perfect. What do you do for fun or play?
I go for walks in Hyde Park. That's like my favorite thing to do, is just like go out in nature and just like hang out. Like whenever Walker and I have like a good chunk of time on the weekend, we don't like plan anything, you know, crazy. It's just like, let's just go for a walk. Let's just leave the house and go walking and like just be gone for like 4 hours. And just kind of see where it takes us. I just love those days. Those are like my favorite.
And last question, entrepreneurism. Are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
Oh, I think some people are born this way. And I think some people need to learn how to become an entrepreneur, which is great. Because if someone's listening to this and they're like, oh, I really want to do X, Y, Z, but I don't feel like I'm not born this way. Or wired this way, I think you can 100% learn how to be an entrepreneur and how to be a better entrepreneur.
Joy, you are up to so many amazing things, not the least of which is this fabulous new eczema guide that we didn't even have a chance to talk about. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're up to, where people can find you, and some of the cool things you have on the go right now?
Yeah, totally. So people can find me. My blog is joyoushealth.com, which is J-O-Y-O-U-S health.com. And I have, you know, throughout the week, I have 2 to 3 new recipes or articles that I share. So I'm always very active, updating the blog, and that's totally free. There's so much content there. I have literally like thousands of articles. And then I'm on social media. So for those of your listeners who aren't on Instagram, I share daily inspirations there as well, which is Joyous Health. And you know, whether you come to the blog or you find me on social media or you hear me speak, you know, I just always want people to feel more joyous, to feel better about themselves, feel inspired, motivated, no matter where they come across Joyous Health. So I really hope that that's what people get out of it. But I'm on all like the social media channels, whether it's Pinterest or Facebook or Twitter. But I'm probably the most active, I'd say, on Facebook and Instagram. So people can find me there. And I have my new eczema healing guide that's just come out as well, because there's millions of people that suffer from eczema. The reason I created this guide was because over the years, the number of people who have emailed me asking me to help them, and also because I suffered from it myself for many, many years. So this guide is just amazing. It's the most comprehensive thing that I've ever personally created and read in terms of an ebook on eczema, and really just helps people get to the root cause, because conventional solutions just manage the symptoms. They don't get to the root cause. They don't like actually cure you. So that's why it's so key to get to the root, and there's not one single cause. So I'm really excited about my new eczema guide that I have.
Joy, I feel like we're going to have to do this again and talk just about eczema and skin health. I can't thank you enough for being with us. It was such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much. I had so much fun chatting with you.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Anthropology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.